This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, September 20th, 2023. Ember Wednesday in September, by Father William Doc Holliday.
These things I write to thee, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I always talk about when we have a reading, and it starts with and or but, it's a conjunction, what happened before it. This is kind of glaring. It starts out, these things I write to thee, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. These things I write to thee. What? What did you write to us that we know how, that we ought to know how to behave? Now, that sounds like a pretty biggie, right? That thou mayest know how to behave in the house of God. Yeah. What things does St. Paul write about? Hey, you got to go back a little bit, a couple chapters. I mean, because he takes a long to write all kind of stuff that we need to understand about how to behave in the house of God, not just personally, but how the house of God needs to be presented even from its governmental structure. What things? Bishops. St. Paul speaks of bishops and the criteria and the qualifications for bishops. They must be blameless. Blameless doesn't mean they're without mistake. It means that they can't have anything that's hanging over their head that makes people accuse them of any kind of treachery or anything of wrongdoing. So they have to have a good reputation before people. They are supposed to be good teachers of the faith, not of the world. Good teachers of the faith. They are on a personal level, not to be given to much wine. Doesn't mean they can't drink socially. It means that they are not to be excessive in things. They are not to be covetous. They're not to be greedy. They don't want positions or money or power. They ought not anyway. They are not to be neophytes. That means they should be experienced in the faith, and they should have a good testimony in front of others. This is only part of the list. There's a lot of things bishops need to be before they are considered for that position. I'll talk about deacons in the church. Deacons, the qualifications are the same as those of bishops, but there are some commonalities between the two in those various ministries of clerics in the church. Both of them, it says, and this kind of makes you raise your eyebrow and talk about, they need to be the husband of one wife. That's deacons and bishops. The church, and I mean this from my position in life, as the church has made a very, very wise decision in the fact that most priests ought not be married. There can be the anomalous situation every now and then, which this covers, but nonetheless, it is a good thing that they are not, because the next qualification, not just being the husband of one wife, is to rule his own house well. This is hard to do. This is hard to do, and particularly in our day and age. You know, the graces you receive at your marriage, if you're married, the matrimonial graces you receive, two graces. One, special grace to be able to live as husband and wife together, that you are now one, can't do your own thing. Need special graces to be able to do that. And you need to cooperate with those graces. The second one is how to raise children in this godforsaken and sin-cursed world. So, those two things that we receive as graces, we need to cooperate with them. And due to the vicissitudes of life, even if you cooperate with those graces, problems can arise. Let us just, I was going to, it will just suffice it to say, I have known more than a couple married priests who did not run their house well, and they are now out of the ministry because they did not. And more than a couple of them, it had nothing to do with their own fault, but because it happened in their house, they no longer have a public ministry. This is how important it is to run your own house well, because our Lord, when he's talking about bishops and deacons and being a husband and wife and ruling their own house well, said, if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? The church of God is a whole lot more, let us say, dynamic than your household. You can't do things to maintain order in the church that you can do in your own house. So it's more difficult to run the church of God, not to mention that there's a whole lot more people in it. Okay, if you can't do it on a microcosmic scale in your own family, you're not going to be able to do it well in the church. So these are the criteria of leaders in the church. These are some of the things of which St. Paul writes. He also writes how generally we are all supposed to be in the church. He says that we are supposed to pray without anger or contention amongst ourselves or even amongst other people. We need to be praying with pure hearts. This is how we come into the church. Then he goes on to speak about women in the church. This might be one of the reasons that you don't hear it read of the things that St. Paul teaches. I mean, people that read that, seriously, I mean, I can't harp on this enough. People that are at Mass today and they hear this reading, do you think 99% of them go, what things was St. Paul talking about? I think I'll go home and read it. No, they just read their Magnificat, what it says in there, and they just go about their business. Like I said, this is some important stuff. He speaks about women more than he does men, generally speaking. He talks about women. They need to be modest in their dress in church. Not as a oh, wow, it doesn't say come as you are. Go figure. Doesn't say come as you are. Modesty in dress. He gets kind of detailed. And what he says is not a prohibition on certain articles of jewelry. He talks about don't wear your gold, don't braid your hair, don't do anything. He doesn't mean don't look nice. As a matter of fact, he wants us to be modest, presentable, showing good taste. But what he's saying is don't be showy. Don't come to church looking at all your finery. Don't go to church making yourself look attractive, because that's not what it's there for. Come there modesty, in dress, learning in silence. Yeah, St. Paul says that. Learning in silence. In subjection. Not having authority over men. That would be a reason that you might not hear that. You know, this is like this whole discussion about women deacons in the church. Why even talk about it? Why even talk about it? The Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul said, I suffer not a woman to have authority over a man in the church. And a deacon is a clerical position. They have clerical authority. So how can they have clerical authority when the Holy Spirit says they cannot have authority over a man in the church? And remember, we're talking about liturgy. We're talking in the church. Doesn't mean a woman can't be president or head of the company or whatever. If you want to go there, doesn't say that. Talking about in the church. Let's just leave it at that for right now. Well, why? Well, because St. Paul was a misogynist. Everybody knows that. He was a member of the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Okay? I'm dating myself. Spanky and our gang back in the 30s, they used to have the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Yeah. It was just first century patriarchal nonsense. The Holy Spirit gives reasons why this is. One is just plain out order. Our God is a God of order. Our God is a God of roles. St. Paul, I suffer not a woman to have authority over a man. Adam was first formed and then Eve. Just the order of things. He's not grounding it in first century patriarchal stuff. He's grounding it in creation. This is how God wants things. He wants them ordered. You start messing with the order, you start to have problems. That's just it. But then he throws out an and. Adam was first, formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not seduced, but the woman was in the transgression. Satan hit Eve. Eve fell to Satan. This kind of harkens back to the whole order thing. Eve's response when Satan started talking to her should have been, hold on a second. Let me go get Adam and you talk to us. You talk to both of us because that's how God ordered it. He put Adam there to till her, then he put Eve there to help him out. And when you start separating the order, the authority structure, bad things happen. That's why husbands and wives, the man is the head of the household, but a wife administers that household. So this is not a matter of you just shut up and stand over there and don't say a word. It's we got to work together on this stuff. And they didn't work together. And Satan knew that I'm going to get leverage if I hit him up where I appeal to her pride. And I can make this decision on my own. And then Adam, he gets even more of the blame because why? Because he was put there first. He was supposed to be running things and he did what she said and ate of the fruit. Therein the problem lies. This, our Lord does not want to happen in the church. This is why he gets very, very explicit about the structure and the roles that people are to have in the church. And he goes, this whole thing about the women and the men thing, look up there with the bishops and the deacons too. They have different roles. You notice, I'm going to feel bad now because priests aren't even mentioned. They're not even mentioned. Why is that? We don't have, no, because we do know we have priests. But what are priests? They are just the bishop's mouthpiece. This is the bishop's parish. This is the bishop's parish. He calls me up and said, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Heck, the day the church burned down, I'm standing there, or the week after, I'm standing there with the bishop. And what does he get? Okay, well, we rebuild this, 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 and this. I'm like, okay. It's his parish. It's his parish. He'll listen to my input every now and then, but guess what? He's a bishop. Like I said, priests aren't even mentioned. And we get all this, I don't like that because I don't get to do this and I don't get to do that. I'm not even mentioned. I'm not even mentioned. Bishops and deacons. Now, a priest has to have all the qualities of a bishop because he stands in his place. So that's a given. But deacons, they have a completely different ministry. They are clerics. They do have authority. And so it's emphasizable. You don't get bent out of shape just because you have a role. Not only do I do what the bishop says, I can't do some of the things he does. Well, I'm the bishop's mouthpiece here. I think I'm going to ordain some deacons. No, you're not, because you're not a bishop. I need some help around here. I'm the only one. I think I'll ordain somebody a priest. No, you won't, because you're not a priest. Can't. I can dress up. I can say all the words exactly how they're supposed to. I can say them in Latin, make it even more pretty. And guess what? The dude's still not a priest because I don't have the authority to do it. It's role. It's order. God demands it in his church. And we've been messing that up real bad over the past 60 years. The orders in the church. Think about the last parish you might have visited that's not within the traditional line of thinking. How many women did you hear read when it says they're supposed to learn in silence? That doesn't mean at that part. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. This is why this has always been this way, because Scripture mandates that. Why has there never been talk about women deacons? They talk about it, but every pope in history said, nope, 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 nope. John Paul II really kind of put the nail in the coffin of everything and said, no, this is what the church is all about. Let's not talk about this anymore. And all of a sudden, we're talking about it again. You can't talk about it. It's a waste of breath. That's actually a grave sin, because you're messing up the time that our Lord gives you in this world to talk about something that cannot be. That cannot be, because our Lord prohibits it. End of story. Or like Sunday. God says, because I said so. Okay. Although he gives excuse. Adam was warm first, then Eve. Adam was not seduced, but the woman. We have got to watch out for the church. We have to make sure that all of these things are what they should be, because if they're not, the church is weak, very weak, to the point where in a lot of places it might not even look like the Catholic Church. This, it cannot be, because in the reading, what do we, the church is nothing less, and here's one for your friends who like to say, this is just me and Jesus, you don't even have to go to church. I actually saw that last week in a some presentation, but I said, we don't even need the church. It's just me and Jesus, me and my Bible. You know, it's good to go to church, but you don't have to, and everything like that. Because what? Because you got Scripture. And Scripture is the authority, and Scripture is the whole ground and foundation of your faith. Here's one for those kind of folks, if you know any of them. Ask them, what's the ground and pillar of your faith? The Scriptures. Then ask them, what do Scriptures say is the ground and pillar of your faith? The church. The church. It's not Scripture. Scripture is a tremendously good foundation for the church to go by, because it's God's message to us. But nonetheless, it's not the Scriptures that are the ground and pillar of the faith. The Scriptures say that it is the church. You can even play with them by that, because they like to appeal to 2 Timothy 3:16. It's all Scriptures inspired by God, and it's profitable for this, that, and the other thing. Okay, but what does 1 Timothy 3:15 say? That the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church. Thus says Scripture. This is why these things all have to work together like this. I like the newer version. I actually say that it's the pillar and the bulwark. Not a word that we use a whole lot anymore. The bulwark of the church. It's what defends the truth. The church. This is a great mystery. The church is a great mystery. We read that in Ephesians. It's a mystery between the relationship, manifests the relationship between Christ and the church. But here in Timothy, read, I quote, this is the last verse we read. Evidently, great is the mystery of godliness, which was manifested in the flesh, was justified in the spirit, appeared unto angels, had been preached unto Gentiles, is believed by the world, is taken up in glory. Whom is being described there? Our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the church? It is the body of Christ. The church is the same thing as our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Evidently, great is the mystery of her godliness. It's a mystery, all right, because she's full of sinful people, and she just keeps plugging along, which was manifested in the flesh. This is why we have to do these things, because we have to manifest, we have to, in our flesh, manifest the truths of the gospel. You can't be picky and choosy of those you don't like, or you're starting to hack up the body, make it look all wounded. justified in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides and directs us. The Holy Spirit has given us these instructions through the pen of St. Paul. And we are going to appear before angels at the final judgment. Every person that's come into the church, there has been silence in heaven while the angel rejoiced over one sinner who comes to repentance, and the church is full of a whole lot more than one sinner. Have been preaching to the Gentiles, have believed in the world, and taken up in glory. While we're here, we preach to the unbelievers, the Gentiles. In some instances, we will be believed by those who are taken from the world and brought into the church. And then she will ultimately be taken up in glory, usually one at a time. This is the church. It is a mystery, but it is not mysterious in what we have to do here. The Holy Spirit has been very plain about it. These things St. Paul has written to us, that we may know how we ought to act in the house of God. We just have to know what those things are. In the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.